In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Before I begin my sermon today, I post these recordings on a blog, and I got an anonymous comment on one of the sermons that I gave here when I spoke of Archbishop Nodine Tak. And it said that I was negligent in pointing out to everyone that he did sign some of the documents of Vatican II, and that after he had first consecrated, he retracted that. And I do not wish to declare that the man is a saint. He has faults and failings. But first of all, I would like to ask, who has not had anything to do with the Novus Ordo? There is no doubt that before Vatican II came, there was need for change. And I have no doubt that the man probably signed documents. I wasn't there to witness it. But I don't doubt that he probably did sign them. But I think he signed them not knowing what he was signing. And therefore, his signature would not be valid. And if you ask any legal authority, if you are presented with a contract and you sign a contract and you're not fully informed of the contract, there's not an agreement of minds. The contract is null and void. And I don't think those in the Novus Ordo who are sought change actually presented the evil to everyone as evil. They sugarcoated it, presented it very nice, and it wasn't until later when people had time to calmly reflect upon it, they said, hey, what's this? Now, Archbishop Nodine Tak went, when he saw all this chaos, he was told that the Blessed Mother wanted him to consecrate some priest in Palmar de Troia. He went there and he consecrated. And immediately they declared themselves popes and began ordaining and consecrating little boys. And I have no doubt that Archbishop Nodine Tak repented for having done that. And he said, as mea culpa, I made a mistake. I should not have done that. But what I spoke of in that sermon was the point when he reached. After that, he comes to the conclusion that the See of Peter is vacant. Having gone through all of this, then he stood up and said, this is See of Peter is vacant. And he suffered the consequences for it. He had everything to lose, and he willingly gave it up. So I'm not saying he is a perfect man. He's not God. But who is? We read of the lives of the saints, and the biographers tell us all the good things they did. But they so often forget to tell us that these saints were sinners, that these saints were human beings, that these saints had faults and failings. What we admire in them is not the fact that they were people just like us. What we admire is their heroic virtue. I think that is what we need to focus upon. I'm not trying to deceive you and tell you that he was a perfect man, because none of us are. And now, having that out of the way, let's begin with today's gospel. Our Lord is preparing his disciples for his ascension into heaven. He said, I'm going to go. He said, but you can't come just yet. I'm going to send the Holy Ghost to you. And this Holy Ghost, he's going to teach you all these things that you need to know. The Holy Ghost is going to come and pass justice and judgment upon this world. And this is somewhat of a frightening thing. But St. Augustine has a beautiful insight into this passage of the Gospel. He reminds us that God the Son took human flesh upon himself, became one with us, and this is a great act of mercy. And if you recall different places, our Lord says that no one goes to the Father but through him, no one can ascend to the Father but he who had descended from the Father. So the only one that can get into heaven is Christ. St. Augustine points out that Christ is the first fruits of mankind. He is the first man who is worthy to offer himself to his heavenly Father. And first fruits kind of throws me for a loop sometimes, because I think first fruits are the first things that come off the tree. But when we look in the Old Testament, we see that that's not true. When they were told to plant an orchard or a vineyard, they were not to harvest anything for 3 years. That fruit was considered inferior, and so it was left. That wasn't worth offering to God. The first fruits did not come until the 4th year. When the tree was mature, produced good quality, and the best of that fruit was what was found worthy to be offered to God. And so in our human nature, our human society, our human family, from the time of Adam up until the time of Christ, you might say humanity was immature and wasn't producing anything worthwhile offering to God. Everything was deficient. Everything was lacking. And when Christ came and offered himself to his heavenly Father, this is the first fruit. This is the most worthy offering. And this is the only acceptable offering. Now, if we are going to be acceptable to God, if we are to ascend to the Father, the only way we're going to get there is if we are incorporated into the mystical body of Christ. If we become one with Christ, there where the head has gone, the body will follow. By our baptism, not only is original sin washed away, and any actual sins we may have committed, but baptism also incorporates us into this mystical body of Christ, fills our souls with sanctifying grace. The sacrament of the Holy Eucharist is designed to bring us into a closer, more intimate union with Christ, so that we actually lose ourselves in Him. It sounds a little bit strange to us because we think of the food that we take into our bodies, that food becomes us. But in a spiritual sense, the Holy Eucharist transforms us into Christ. And only when we are truly incorporated in Christ, when we have lost ourselves in this mystical body, will we be able to ascend into heaven. No one gets to the Father but through the Son. And this, when Christ ascends into the heavens, will be justice. And only the just are incorporated into the body of Christ. Only the just will ascend into heaven with him. So the Holy Ghost is going to convince the world of justice. The Holy Ghost is next going to convince the world of judgment. Because the prince of this world has already been judged. Now, if everything positive is incorporating ourselves in the mystical body of Christ, you might look as the devil, as the ape of Christ. He's just the opposite, the mirror reflection of Christ. Those who are not incorporated into the mystical body of Christ are incorporated into another mystical body of Lucifer, Satan. As Christ says, you are either with me or you are against me. Our Lord tells the apostles that when the Holy Ghost comes upon them, he's going to convince the world of judgment, because the prince of this world has already been judged. Judgment has already been passed. The head of all those who are mystically united with Lucifer, with Satan, have already been judged. The head has been judged, and all those who are united with that head, all that body goes with it. They've already been judged. Those who have justified themselves, incorporated themselves into the mystical body of Christ, they have already been judged to be just, because they are one with Christ. And our whole goal in this life is to be incorporated into the mystical body of Christ. to die to ourselves, to die to this world. As I mentioned, we are called to a mystical life, a spiritual life. Have you ever noticed how interested we are in things of the spiritual realm? When it comes to demonic possession, we're all curious. When it comes to evil and haunted houses and ghosts and evil spirits, everybody's curious. What about this? Why are we so curious? Why are we so interested? The devil is taking something that is natural to us and using it against us. It is natural for us to be interested in a mystical life. It's natural for us to be interested in the soul and the spiritual life and the realm beyond this life. But our focus, our goals should be directed towards Christ so that we might ascend into heaven with Him. Not as we are now, but incorporated into His body, one with Him. When I was a boy, I used to see these little bumper stickers and smiley faces. You probably, the older ones I know, will recall them. It said, smile, God loves you. And everybody said, you know, God loves you just the way you are. He made you just the way you are. Well, if you'll stop and think about this for a moment, that is not true. God made you, that is true. But God is not pleased with the way you came into this world. You came in this world defective, missing something because your parent had sinned, because Adam had sinned. You're missing something that God wants you desperately to have. And He came to this earth to give it to you. And He says, take it, here it is. And then you will be pleasing to me. God doesn't love us the way we are. God doesn't love us where we are. He does love us, but He's not happy with us in our situation. He wants us to change. It's the devil who doesn't want you to change. The devil likes you just where you are. He's happy with whatever station in life you find yourself right now. Just stay right there. Don't move. Don't incorporate yourself in the mystical body of Christ. If you've sinned, just stay there and sin. That's the devil telling us. Don't move. God is saying, forget your sins. Forget yourself. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Come, follow me. Don't stay there. Move. Get on with it. Life is short. Now is the time to get up and move. Now is the time to follow me. Now is the time to become one with me. Because if you don't, you're not getting into heaven. Either you are with me or you are against me. It's that simple. So don't believe the world, the suggestion of the devil that God loves you just the way you are. He doesn't. Christ tells us, be ye perfect, because your heavenly Father is perfect. Your goal is to be perfect. Who can say, I'm perfect? Our Lord even goes further and He says to His apostles, after you have done all things well, say to yourself, I am an unprofitable servant because I've only done that which I ought to have done. A profitable servant does more than he's supposed to do. He goes above and beyond. The one who has only done what he ought to have done breaks even. He's neither positive or negative. He's just on this level plane. Our Lord says, you've got to do more. And I ask you, who among us can say with all honesty that we have done all things well? So we can't even reach the state where we can say we're unprofitable servants. We're miserable sinners. We've got to do something about that. We have to change. We have to renounce sin. We have to struggle. And it's not just a matter of one moment, taking one moment of my life and saying, okay, I'm changing now, I'm renouncing Satan, I'm going to start on this path of virtue, I'm going to be incorporated in the mystical body of Christ, and we're filled with such enthusiasm and eagerness, and we're ready to go. Okay, that's behind me, now let's get back to the life as normal. Sadly, that's what happens. Our incorporation into the mystical body of Christ is a lifelong endeavor. Each and every day we have to take up our cross. Each and every day we have to be incorporated into the mystical body of Christ. We have to die to ourselves little by little. And it's not an easy thing. Our Lord tells us it's a struggle. It's a cross. It's a burden. But if you will do it for the love of Him, He says He will make it light. He will make it sweet. It'll still be a cross, but it will be a cross that you will begin to love. Because as you die to yourself, as you die to the world, you begin to realize that Christ is living within you. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos, et manet semper. Amen.